Hey everybody, in this episode of Star Trek Weekly, we're going to be breaking down episode 3 of Star Trek Discovery, Context is for Kings. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, that's
this
right.
This is exciting, right?
Yes, look at this. Music. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we got the part of the theme music there from Star Trek, the J.J. Abrams, kind of introducing us to the
they're all
the
interconnected, sort
universe.
Of.
That's right. Yeah. We got to get the big sting right here. Oh, there you go. That's right. Welcome, everybody, to Star Trek Weekly. This is the show where we break down everything you ever wanted to know about Trek. And this time that we're focusing specifically on Star Trek Discovery, the new show airing on CBS All Access. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
And hey there, my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And of course, folks, you can follow us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Feel free to give us a thumbs up while you're there as well. And we're going to have the chat up and running, so feel free to jump in, share your thoughts about Star Trek Discovery, this particular episode, or just the series in general, or the general state of the Star Trek universe.
But and if you're not watching live, though, you can comment down below.
That's one of the Carrie's favorite things. Comment down below. Share your thoughts about everything. But Carrie also has some other thoughts to share as well.
Yes, real quick. Hey, super fans. So before we dive into today's show, I do want to remind you about some exciting changes here at Art Network. You may have noticed that Star Trek Discovery, Star Trek Weekly, is airing on a brand new YouTube channel. So we have the AfterBuzz Sci-Fi channel, Sci-Fi Fantasy. That's because we're catering content to match your wants and your needs, and now all the shows will air on content-specific verticals. So since you're a fan of our show, all of our content on this channel, on AfterBuzz, which is part of the sci-fi one, will be right up your alley. So hit the subscribe button right now. So that way, you know, it's a little more specific instead of just, like, all the shows. You're not going to get updates on, like, the reality shows. No offense to them. We get what I mean. So we have 9 new content catered YouTube channels, each devoted to a specific genre. And you can find each of those on the homepage of this channel, so subscribe to your favorites. And AfterBuzz is a leader in custom TV coverage, and we are always looking to improve. Let us know what you think on... Let us know what you think on all of our social media platforms at AfterBuzz TV.
And, of course, usually leading the show, as always, is Christian Blatt. He is away on assignment. Basically, he's heading over to Rigel 5, just hanging out, checking out what's going on over there, and he's going to report back to us. But as we're talking about this episode for Context is for Kings, even though Christian couldn't be here, his opinions can be.
Yes.
So we're going to turn it over to Christian right now to give you his little insight about what he thought for Context is for Kings. Take it away, Christian.
Co-host log, Stardate 10.9.17. I have finished watching Star Trek Discovery Episode 3, and I feel like this episode was like the second pilot for the show. So the first two were like The Cage, and this one is Where No Man Has Gone Before. We're really going to get into what the show is now, and I was really excited. Not just because we actually saw the USS Discovery for the first time, but we get to meet Captain Lorca, but more importantly, we get to meet Cadet Sylvia Tilly, who I was surprised to see still alive at the end of the episode. And I don't have money on her sticking around for a while, but I think it's a nice dynamic. Even the moment where she tried to call Burnham Mikey, but obviously realized that that wasn't going to last. And we learn about all the things you can do with spores. But I think the most important takeaway from the episode, at least, you know, the first 45 minutes of it or so, is just how set Burnham was and wanting to do her time. She knew she did the crime. She knew she shouldn't have. And she just wanted to not get involved. But she got dragged into it. And then you could tell you get pretty excited when you get to deal with some magical spores. So kind of excited to, you know, that we didn't spend that much time. We didn't have a run of 4 episodes where she's in, like, a prison camp. You know, it's like Orange is the New Starfleet or something. I didn't need a space prison episode. The scene on the shuttle was plenty for me. Although I guess I have the one criticism is that it was very interesting that they all got to eat in the same mess hall as all the actual officers and everything. But clearly that's what the captain intended. But it's a minor complaint. There were some really sick burns in the episode. Like, Vulcan should stick to logic. And Saru just bringing the heat and saying that he felt that Burnham did feel regret, but he believes she's dangerous. But the worst part was when he said, "I intend to do a better job protecting my captain than you did yours." Ouch. Mm-hmm. But he starts being a dick by the end of the episode, and you feel like there's a little room to work with. So I like that we get a couple of cast members from the first two episodes, but really, it's like that was a different show. And I think there's so much more potential for this new show, episode 3, well, I guess through 7 for right now, that I'm very excited. And I also want to know what you guys think. The title for the episode came from the great line that Captain Lorca had, "Universal law is for lackeys, context is for kings." And I don't know, it's just, I'm even quite sure I knew what it meant, but I'm like, yep, that sounds smart. But let me know what you guys think, and anybody, of course, watching, just chat in the YouTube. And hopefully I'm able to beam back down for next week's episode.
All right, nice. Thank you, Christian. So yes, chiming away about his thoughts for the episode. Why don't we jump into a couple things that he was saying? Did you first of all, he basically says, like, this is kind of a second pilot for the show.
I feel it's finally really getting some legs. Like, it's getting exciting. We're going, like, okay, where is this show going? Because technically, like, the advertisements were just like, ooh, it's female and diversity. And nope, those people aren't around anymore. So, I mean, yes, there's still diversity and strong female characters. But I'm like, it's not quite the show they advertised. Like the initial, you know, but I think I like where it's going. It's getting a little more exciting, and I'm more invested now than maybe at the beginning, where I was a little bit more like, okay, cool.
I find that comparison of like comparing it to, you know, The Cage, to where No Man Has Gone Before, kind of like the first two pilots for the original Star Trek series. I see this different in the sense where they had tried it first. Gene Roddenberry tries it first with The Cage. They throw it at the network. The network rejects it. They tweak it. They come back, and they have their new pilot that gets picked up, and then they're off and running. This, though, I mean, we're basically getting two kind of versions of the show. I don't know if we needed to see the first two episodes. What if we had just started this season right here on this episode?
And then done those as, like, flashbacks?
What if they were never even addressed? You just hear through backstory some lines of characters mentioning about this whole incident. Do you feel now, in retrospect, did you need to see those first two episodes to really set the stakes where we are right now?
Yes. One thing, though, with Michael, I was noticing, I caught up from the last week episode, so if I'm meshing them together, sorry. But when she, like, first comes on the ship in her, like, Vulcan attire, the 7 years later, I'm like, wow, she went from, you know, super stoic, no emotion, to super emotional, that I kind of was little bit surprised with that on her character. Like, I feel she's very quick to emotion. So it's not just like she's emotional. It's just she's like a 0 to 60 with a lot of the things she feels. But I guess you could say if she's been like repressing them for so long, then now when she can kind of not be on a Vulcan homeworld, she would be like, okay, I'm gonna, I don't know. It was a little, throw me off a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, it's tough to say how she changed so quickly over those 7 years, or changed from being such a very much a Vulcan in kind of attitude and emotional control to kind of being a little bit more open to the human experience by the time we see her right now.
Madeline in the chat agrees with you that kind of wish this was a pilot and the first episodes were a flashback. Yeah.
Yeah, because it just, I felt like you think the show's going, do we need to see the actual start of the Klingon War? Do we need to see that, or could we just
have been it's like the prologue.
Yeah, but I mean, right now it's fine. We know we have 7 episodes, and we've already burnt 2 of them on this prologue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if depending on, I guess it all, I think we'll can only really answer that. Yeah, by the end of the end of these 7 episodes, if it was like
worth
needed
it
or not.
Yeah.
But regardless, we do jump 6 months from last episode. Mm-hmm. Where, and just to jump back to that episode 2, did you feel like, I felt like Burnham really was the fall person for everything that happened.
Yeah, they blame it all on her. It's like, you guys shot at them too, and y'all could have just not shown up. Nobody made you go fire on, you know, it's like, why did...
And although she advised the captain in the plan to go to the Klingon ship, the captain okayed it, so it wasn't like, so...
I don't think... Maybe they just wanted, you know, someone to blame, so they put it all on her. But it kind of felt like, really? She's the one person who started everything?
Yeah.
Maybe in killing the soldier, you could argue that, because she is the only person who did that. But I don't feel it's like 100% her fault.
But
you're like, okay.
Yeah, but I can't blame her killing the soldier. I mean, she was just defending herself.
Yeah, that was a fight. That was like, yeah. Yep.
I mean, it was. She was on a exploratory mission, mm-hmm. you know, sanctioned by the ship.
Self-defense.
Yeah. So anyway, regardless, though, she is. Yeah, she becomes a fault person for everything that's happened. She gets served life in prison. 6 months later, we jump into this episode.
I do like that they didn't do the storyline with her of she accepts the crime she did, but it wasn't like I did them for good reasons. Like, it wasn't constantly like, because she does believe she did them for good reasons. But you know those storylines in movies where people are like, okay, fine, I'll take punishment, but I did it for the right reasons. And they just kind of like push that forever. I'm glad that they didn't do that with the show. Like, she doesn't constantly need to defend herself of like, I did it for the right reason. No, she just kind of has a, I accept punishment. And done. I'm like, oh, good. She's not. But now she's back to zero emotion.
Well, love it. Well, I don't know. It's interesting because I feel like
now she's a 0 to 10.
Yeah. I mean, she's certainly kind of very much sticking to the Federation ideals.
Yeah.
Right now in the speech that she has there with the captain. So.
Yeah. Getting ahead a little bit about the captain, but interesting thought. Tanya in the chat says, I don't trust the captain, but I do love Jason Isaacs as an actor, though.
Yeah, Captain Lorca, he is interesting. It's
he's intriguing. I don't know if I trust him or not yet.
I feel like that he's definitely got a couple different agendas running.
Yes.
For sure.
100%.
One slight, I don't want, it's not necessarily altruistic, but it's only one trying to benefit everybody, but then he's got something else going on too where he's exploring more of the darker side of things too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they, in terms of just backstory.
Oh, keeping the cat, well, they call it kitty.
Yeah.
The thing at the end, I knew that was coming too. I'm like, captain. But if he's a true scientist kind of person, that makes sense if you want to take it and study it, and it's not safe to have it on the ship.
No, it's some sort of life form.
I predict this will be bad. Not much of a prediction there, but I think it will be bad.
Look at that. Renj in the chat says, hey, glad to be here. Renj, always glad to have you here.
Yes.
For sure, yes. And also says, a Vulcan mind versus a human heart.
Yep.
That is true. You know, and I don't know. It always feels weird about shows that go back in the past for something to now all of a sudden having these kind of like landmarks kind of discovered in the series. Like, oh my gosh, it's Michael Burnham, the first mutineer ever in Starfleet. You know, something that's, you know, nobody's ever heard of before and made mm-hmm. no mention of ever. But now, since we're diving back into this past,
yeah.
we start setting these kind of landmarks.
Yeah.
And another mention of her hanging out with Amanda, reading Alice Through the Looking Glass with
yes.
Spock. It's like, all right, again.
No, you didn't like that?
It's just like no one's mentioned this character ever before in Star Trek.
Oh.
Because this is now we're kind of retro creating this character.
Oh,
but it
I
just
get,
seems so weird
it.
To have watched. You know, since the 60s, so over 50 years of Spock
nobody
adventures.
Nobody mentions a sister.
No, so it seems kind of weird. You were going to say.
I get it. Well, Madeline in the chat furthered the comment about the captain is, or use that thing as a weapon, which, oh yeah, no, totally. Well, that'd be under the study and figure out what to do with it. As someone who's like, I'm familiar with the Star Trek films and a little bit on the series, and I do really like Star Trek, but I'm not like, you know, I can't quote any episodes per se, but I'm not good at quoting things. Anyway, it didn't really bother me as a viewer just to be like, okay, cool. That is a moment you kind of have to suspend your disbelief kind of thing. Like, all right, fine. Or I just go with it.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, I guess, I think for the casual viewer,
maybe
absolutely.
He had a mind wipe about her. I don't know.
I feel
it's
like
sci-fi.
There's always going to be that contingent of Star Trek fans that really love the continuity that are be like, well, what are you going to do, putting this kind of continuity implant back in here for this? I don't know.
It is a little sticky situation of like, all right, if you're going to be that specific, how do you explain the absence? Which is true, but it didn't really bother me, but I get what you mean.
Yeah. So, of course, we add over to Discovery. What do you think of the ship?
I think it's cool. I wasn't like... but I'm glad I'm like, oh, this is started. Discovery, I get it. Like, I kind of was like, oh... Like, when their ship was destroyed, I'm like, so what's next? And then they're like, oh, they're on the Discovery. I'm like, all right, there's our title.
Yeah, it's a very interesting design based on Ralph McQuarrie's drawings for a series that they're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. That I want to say it was Star Trek Phase 2, but also I've read that it was a different sci-fi series as well. But so they kind of used that his inspirational drawings for that for the look of
looks
this.
Cool. Kind
of,
mm-hmm.
I guess kind of nod to that. Mm-hmm. So you think about him being so influential in both Star Trek and Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a nice little nod to that. We also get to meet like some of the crew basically transplants over from Burnham's old ship.
Well, the ones that survive.
Yes. If you want
to, when she's in the, sorry, this is last episode, but when she's in the like brig and the guy gets the part of the room gets destroyed, you know, and he gets jettisoned into space. I was like, I like that character. I know you're barely there, but I was liking your scene and that sucks.
Yes. Yeah, so, we do get to see Kayla from the old ship as well as
Saru. A
nicer
semi-shaved head thing in a way because it's gone. Yeah. But I want to know if that metal piece is a enhancement or a fixing. Like enhancement, like just purely for that purpose or because of an injury from the start of the war.
Very interesting.
Because that's different of like, you know, she chose it cosmetically slash just technological advancement for herself or... Because it almost like what as soon as she saw Michael, it was the, oh no. But it's, you know, it's almost a disfigurement. So is it in that category of like that help repair her?
Oh, right.
No, that's true.
Speaking of the mess hall, though, as Christian
I agree
mentioned
with his
too,
comment.
It does seem very weird if you, I guess if you look at it in the context of what Lorca was trying to orchestrate, maybe it makes more sense. Because, yeah, there really is no reason for having prisoners interact with the rest of the Starfleet personnel.
No. They could have ate in their own room or something, a separate space. But I want to know, I don't feel these are maybe violent offenders. So it's kind of like, I shrugged for those people listening. You know, it's like, okay. But it is a little weird to have them all in the same space.
Yeah, very true. We do get to see a couple of prisoners decide to make up for the fact that she, Michael Burnham's a mutineer, want to take revenge on...
Oh, that fight scene went down so well.
Yes, the over 8,000 people that were killed so far in the battle. And she takes them down using some Vulcan martial arts.
It was awesome. I like that fight scene.
But I do like the head of security. She's very dismissive of it.
Yeah, she's like, no. It's like, ooh, burn! Yes. That was good.
Interesting, because I was like, you know, Vulcan should stick to logic, but like, what was wrong with that martial arts? That
was it was really a good nice fight. Yeah. And she's defending herself.
Yeah.
The other burn later was so good, too, of like, I'm going to keep my captain alive. I'm like, oh, that was like, do you need an ointment for that burn? That one was like, oh.
I find, as she's escorted to talk to Lorca in his captain's ready room.
Yeah.
Very interesting, like the backstory where he wants to keep the lights dim because of
a war injury.
Yeah. And he wants to keep his own eyes.
Yeah.
They have to keep the lights dim for that. I'm really curious to just see what if we're going to learn his backstory.
Yeah. If there's more to it, or if it's just simplistic, or if there's a little more convoluted history there.
Yeah. And very much.
That kind of goes with it if you trust him or not. Do you trust him?
I don't know. It's tough to say if he's is he putting his own desires over the Federation's, or do they happen to at least be kind of working? He's willing to go along because they're kind of both working towards the same purpose. But at some point, what he wants and what the Federation wants are going to kind of diverge.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens when that happens. And is he counting on Michael Burnham to back his play?
Yes, probably.
When it gets to that point, I don't think you set her up to get out of her imprisonment and be on the ship if you don't think that she's going to back you up when the time comes.
Well, he said he picked her because the way she behaves and the decision-making she makes is what he needs for his mission. Kind of thinking, as he said.
But he also wondered, does that kind of thinking kind of alter after what she's experienced? Kind of using all that, does it alter the way that she approaches a similar situation that were she to face that in the future?
Could be.
I don't know.
Well, like she kind of said, she's like, you don't understand it all. Because she's not exactly the assumption everyone has of a mutineer.
No. I mean, she definitely does have regret about what she's done. Yeah. She's not like, yeah, I did it for the... Yeah, like you were saying, she doesn't ever like, I did it for the right reasons. You don't understand. Yeah. She just like, I just want to just go and do my time. Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm done.
We also meet Anthony Rapp. Of course, we've been talking about him for the longest time going to be on the series. We saw his name in the opening credits for several weeks, and now we finally get to meet him. Working down in engineering. What did you think of Anthony Rapp's character?
That's from Rent, right?
Correct.
Yes, immediately I was like, that's a dude from Rent. It's Mark. he is a saucy little character. of Lurker and, like, just really mean to her and to Michael. But I think he was still an interesting character that I want to see more with him.
Yeah, he kind of rubbed me the wrong way right out of the gate.
Yeah, well, because I think he's supposed to.
But as we got over to the other ship and on the Glen and they're investigating everything and stuff starts happening.
Yeah, he was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I think he was willing, like, hey, yeah, I'll give you a phaser if you think you can do something.
Yeah, he was ready. He's like, yep, fix it.
Yeah, do whatever you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting to see what happens.
We'll see
there.
Where he goes.
Yeah. Oh, we also, of course, as...
I liked her.
Do you like her?
Yeah, because at first I was like, the fuck? You know, it was one of those moments, like... But I think you're kind of supposed to either, you're supposed to like her or you're like Michael being like, I don't know if I like you yet. But I think she grew on me of, all right, she's kind of adorkable.
Yeah, but interesting to go into a situation and say, you know, I have special needs. I don't know. I'm curious to see what those special needs are.
Sure.
Because certainly she... I don't know if she's somewhere on the spectrum she's certainly high functioning. She's going to be in a position of Starfleet.
She's very hyperactive and talks a lot, but that is, a lot of people can have that when they're nervous. They talk a lot and she doesn't really have, we'll see where it goes.
Can you relate to her and her desire to do little nicknames for people that you just meet? Kind of shorten their name, kind of come in the spin?
I've seen many people that would say that's rude. Like, if they can't say your name right, they'll, like, let's abbreviate it kind of a thing. Not that Michael's the one to abbreviate, but I, like, immediately I'm like, that's actually kind of rude. That's a boy's name. And, like, let's call you Mickey for cute. And you're like, ooh, no. But, that's what I was going to say is she kind of doesn't gauge people that well. So that's where you could maybe say, like, she's not really good at understanding and reading people, and that would be part of her, like, learning to read people better.
That's true. We owe it to jump back. We definitely do. There are.
And she lies. She has that. We have assigned stations. I love Michael's look at her after, like,
yeah,
glare, like, you are lying.
Busted.
Yep.
We also see some interesting stuff in the ship too, as the prisoners are beginning being led through. One of them comments that, oh wait, there's some of the people are. It's a science vessel. A lot of silver shirts, but then we also see some black shields as well, too. Some Starfleet insignias that are colored black, holding firearms. So
guarding something.
Yeah, more than just a scientific exploratory mission there.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like the rest of these, the season, at least the next four episodes, probably going to be unpacking about exactly what is going on with the Discovery.
Yes, I think we'll be learning more, and I think maybe Michael will continue to break into things to learn about what's going on. I like that she did, because it's like, nope, I'm going to explore. Because, I agree, if you can't put someone in a situation to help, and they have no idea what's going on, how are you going to expect them to, you know, perform to their best? It's like, I don't know what I'm working on. So I think she might do some more exploring, or they might let her in on more that's going on. Maybe not all of it. Probably not all of it.
Yeah, but I also feel like, she definitely knows that it wasn't just by coincidence that she happened to run up against the Discovery. I mean, it definitely was orchestrated that the Discovery would pick her up and that he would kind of commandeer her to be part of the crew no matter what she wanted. Like, even when she says, no, I'll just sit in my, sit in the brig. It's like, no, you're not going to be in the brig. You know, you're not going to just get a free ride.
Everybody, we have Christian Dash and Madeline Y saying Section 31.
That's true. I mean, that was a late addition to Star Trek lore that it would be interesting to kind of visit some of the earlier days of Section 31. I mean, it's been at, like, an area that would be rife for exploration on the TV series side.
Could be interesting.
Yeah. So, of course, part of it is that I did like that we have, in terms of access to everything, it's by breath. Breath pass.
Yes. Well, that kind of makes sense, too, because the thing is, though... She did use the spit and blew that, and that worked too. Because I would almost say that breath is better because you have to be alive. Because, like, fingerprint and eye scan, you could be dead. We've seen that in movies and shows where someone kills that person, but they can still, like, place their hand on the scanner, open the eye.
Yeah.
But breath is, like, the person has to be alive. Ooh, also it could be that they're fully functional, like, not drunk or under some influence or something. Maybe.
That's true, too.
But again, we saw the use of the cloth and the spit, and somehow that worked enough. So it's not 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if it just, like, you, like, you're, she does, like, with the air, but I guess if it's carrying some of the spit particles, it kind of makes it feel like you're exhaling.
Maybe.
I guess. I don't know if it, like, breaks down to how many, like, this person, when they breathe, they do this many particles of saliva to air. But able to get in there and kind of start breaking down some of the mysteries that are happening over there. But we also find out that, of course, Anthony Rapp has got a colleague that is on another ship, the Glenn, that they've, both ships have been working in tandem on whatever they're kind of creating.
Some strange experiment we don't know about. And
but the people on the Glenn are much farther ahead.
It's very disturbing.
And they're going to go ahead and they're going to go give it a try.
All those bodies.
That's right. So things go wrong. They go to investigate. And they, man, it's just, it's as many people have described, it's kind of like Star Trek meets The Thing in this.
Yeah, I was thinking, that was another one. I'm like, wait, I know I've seen that before. But yeah, totally. It's just like the morph and bleh.
So just trying to gather from this, this was kind of created through the course of that experiment, this creature. And it is one about going to destroy the crew.
Sure.
Is that?
But I don't think that creature made them morphed like that. Melted. Actually, it's melted. That's probably a more appropriate word for what they look like.
Yes. Yeah,
because it was not, it didn't look like it scratched them or pulled them. It was more just like literally their bodies were destroyed. Ooh, that could have been it. In like their traveling that the captain was saying that the ship was able to do. Maybe that was too much on the human body and that's what caused it to morph and melt and get all disgusting.
Yeah, but where'd that creature come from, though?
They could have created that or picked it up on their travels.
Yeah, I guess so.
Hitchhiker stowaway?
That's true.
I think that's a separate thing, related and separate to how they became disfigured and killed.
Gotcha.
Like, I don't think that thing did it.
And, yeah, it wasn't created through the whole process of whatever.
Not impossible, but I don't think so. Exactly.
We do, to kind of sidestep back over to the Discovery, we do see, as Michael sees, like a black alert. And we get to see some, you know, some
water stuff.
Yeah, just kind of floating up in the air for a moment before kind of sinking back down.
Very suspicious.
Yeah, so kind of tying into what the Glenn is practicing. And
ooh, and the shoulder. There was the brushing off the shoulders.
Yes, some of the particulate and whatnot.
Yeah, there's stuff going on.
There is stuff going on.
Yep.
So, of course, they find this creature. It's not only, we also see the twisted dead members of Starfleet. We see some Klingons, not twisted up.
Yeah, they're not.
Looks like they kind of, as they surmised, boarded afterwards. Mm-hmm. And then this creature ended up killing them. It's stacked in really nice and neat. They're all just kind of piled up all together right there. It's like, okay, you guys go
here.
Well,
they're in a clump. Well, it's like most fighting things. They all stood in a circle around it and one at a time attacked. How many times have we seen that in a movie and a show? And you're like, just do it all at once. Well, but if they came at it and then he just mowed them over, essentially.
I guess. I mean, it's all Klingon honor, so I could only do it one at a time.
Maybe.
We must engage you one at a time in battle. And then
I do need to say something. And if you guys said it last week, I'm sorry. But somebody brought this up on my Facebook and I was like, yeah. So with the white Klingon that's all cream colored, someone's like, okay, so it's like the white savior. Because it's essentially most of the Klingons are of a darker color.
True.
And then the white one is going to be the savior one. And I kind of had that in the back of my mind. I kind of was thinking, like, I just wanted to wait and see what they do with it. But I had someone totally write that. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of was thinking that too. I don't know. Did you guys think that at all?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, especially given what happened. And now it's like, I guess our albino Klingon is going to be kind of like carrying up the mantle to kind of spread the word.
And of course, he's the one who's going to save us all. You're like, I mean, I don't think the show's, I hope the show's not like trying to do that on purpose. I mean, it was more it's the abnormal one. So it's another level to it. It's the one that's not elevated status. So let's hopefully they'll push that more.
Although I'd be curious to see that character now after everything that's happened at the...
Well, he has the face paint thing going on, too.
Yeah, his stature is kind of elevated after surviving that battle. To jump over one side, as we're talking about books and whatnot, we've got book clubs. You know, it's not just watching TV. It's not just, you know, listening to podcasts, but book clubs. You know, they're back in action, and as so many other fall activities are, audiobooks are the perfect complement to your busy schedule since you can listen while you're doing other things. It's multitasking at its best. I mean, especially if you're going to the gym, you're on the treadmill or an elliptical, on the bike, great thing to be able to listen to kind of take
you
away.
You do all three, don't you?
All three at the same time. That's right. There you go. I've got one foot on the treadmill, one foot on the elliptical, and I'm sitting on a bicycle straddling between the two of them. It's great. Now, if you're looking for a new book club pick, try the audiobook version. By listening to the story, your group conversation can go to a whole new level. For instance, you can discuss how the voice of that narrator impacted the story. So it's cool when you get either the writer of the novel kind of narrating.
Oh, that's so good.
Or they pull in like a James Earl Jones, or they pull in like
Or they're multi-actors.
I think I prefer that rather than like the actor kind of like adopting kind of different vocal inflections.
I love audiobooks. The last one I did Broken Monsters. That one had like five readers.
Oh, nice.
And then that was kind of cool because when those characters finally interacted with each other, they said the dialogue of the other character, but in their voice. So that was kind of fun.
Oh, interesting.
And then I'm on a new one called Waking the Witch, and that has one author, one reader, which is good too.
All right. Now, you can listen to new releases here, such as My Absolute Darling, a debut novel that has been getting rave reviews, The Girl Who Took an Eye for an Eye, new in the Elizabeth Salander series, or A Calm of Fire, the new Kevin Follett, and enjoy a whole new book club experience. So visit tryaudiobooks.com/podcast for book club suggestions, discussion questions, and a free full download of an audiobook for your whole book club to listen to. Penguin Random House Audio is the premier award-winning audiobook publisher, 13 Grammy Awards, 69 Audi Awards, and 15 Odyssey Awards. Penguin Random House Audio is dedicated to producing top-quality fiction and nonfiction audiobooks written by the best and read by the best in the business.
Nice.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. Audiobooks are great.
Yeah. You know, speaking of people who have great voice, Jason Isaacs. There you go.
I like him introduced as a character. I was excited.
Yeah, well, we get down to there to the end where, I mean.
Who's the woman with him? Like, what is her position?
She's the head of security.
Oh, yes. I liked her character, too.
Yeah,
she had subtle, like, things going on when they're on the ship to go over to check out what's going on. Like, just her looks over at everybody. She's like, ooh, she's intriguing.
Before we get over to Captain Lorca for a second and his scenes with Michael, we talked a little bit about Saru because his deep burns. But aside to just the burns, I did like a lot of their conversation that they had just about how he realized how great she was.
Extra thingies, too.
Yeah.
Which we didn't see.
But how great she was.
He respects her as an officer and a very intelligent person.
Yeah, it is an interesting dynamic between the two of them. Yeah. I'll be curious to see now that she is indeed staying on the ship, how that's going to develop.
Well, because it's the problem is he seems like a creature that would be like, I mean, in a human sense, we would want to give someone a second chance. Be like, okay, she's learned her lesson. But I don't think he'll forget. He'd be like, oh, no, you're amazing, but I don't trust you.
No, you that's know? True.
I don't think he'll forget as easily.
I don't think anybody's
going to. Also, he was there. I think anybody who was there is going to have a harder time forgiving her. Because the other people, she's a name that people are like, this started the war. Like, it's a little more abstract.
Yeah.
Though they did look at her and whatever. But I want to go with that's more abstract.
So we finally, they get back to the ship.
Go ahead. Sorry. I did like that moment as well. Renji goes, I don't know. I laughed when she said, did that Klingon shush?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That was really weird and funny.
That it did not last for long.
No. Like, and attack.
I do like how Klingon, he's not going to attack humans that he sees there. Nope. Yep. First thing I'm going to do, be quiet. Yep. There's a creature on this ship.
Yep.
We get to see, though, Burnham's discussion with Lorca. And Lorca really wants her to offer like what seems like a great suggestion. Like, hey, you know what? I want you to be a new member of my crew on Discovery. She's like, no, thanks. I'm heading
good.
Out.
I want to serve my time.
Would you agree with her reasons initially for wanting to go back and serve? Do you feel like she was just making herself? She's overpunishing herself for what has happened.
Both. I think she's overpunishing herself, and also she doesn't want to take his invitation as a quick out. You know, like, I think she would have to serve like a little bit of time, and then she'd be like, "All right, now I'm good to leave."
Yeah, and by that point, it's like, "Yeah, I can't leave now. I can't." We also get to see a tribble on his desk.
I thought that was what it was. I'm like, "That's a tribble."
So kind of cooing there throughout that scene.
It just sits very calmly, though. It just kind of doesn't do anything.
Just hanging out. But it was interesting how Lorca
and the fortune cookies.
Yeah, the fortune cookies were interesting. I mean, it was just a nice little backstory to him.
Character twisting, yeah.
But Lorca's point of view is like, you know, you want to fix things too. So why not give you an opportunity to kind of fix what you kind of messed up?
Yeah.
And I find that is an interesting way to approach Burnham as well, too, to give you an opportunity to kind of correct the mistakes of what you did. And also,
I think that's a better way of going about it, is not just like punish yourself and sit in jail, but like do good to make up for the past wrongs you've done.
Yeah. And she assumes that she's brought on there to devise some sort of illicit weapons to destroy the Klingons and end the war. And he says, "Nope, you're wrong," takes her down over to engineering and says, "You know what, get in this little airtight container, here are the spores. This is a new way of kind of organic warp travel, to be able to travel throughout the course of the universe on, as they say, the veins and the muscles and the tendons of the universe, to travel instantaneously."
Seems like a good idea, but very dangerous. Until they work out the thing. Though, with just beaming up, I've had that discussion of technically you're killed and rebuilt every time with people.
True. I mean, I guess if you like read like even like Timeline from Michael Crichton, it really goes into that.
Yeah. Depends. It's like if you really think you're just like literally transported, or if it's just like you have a new clone of you, and so the you original is long.
That's true. Yeah. Well, you're on copy blank, you know, whatever.
Exactly. So the traveling, I'd be like, can I send a clone first?
But I figure since this is technology, travel technology that does not exist in any of the subsequent series at all, at least chronologically given
maybe
this.
Maybe it's not going to work.
I don't think it ends well for anybody involved.
I agree. That's a good point.
Because we would, I mean, something like this we would have heard about.
Exactly. I kind of was wondering, I'm like, does this fit in anywhere? I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like
maybe
at this
point, learn and they try it and they go, never mind. Good intention, bad plan.
Yeah. I feel like something's going to go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
So I feel like you already kind of have an idea of how the season's going to end. It's just like, how do you get to that point?
So does Tilly take it and Tilly die? Because I remember Christian saying, didn't think she'd last long. Somebody
like
takes it and someone dies, maybe.
I don't think it's going to be Saru. I think it's going to be.
No.
Yeah. I feel like as Tilly, well, when somebody says that their goal is to become a captain, I feel like you must well say, my intention, my goal is to
I'll
die.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, my goal is to die by episode 6, I guess. That's my goal.
I'll be right back. Horror movie, no. Yeah.
So, yeah, we end the episode where Burnham is like, all right, I'm with you. I'll figure this stuff out. And she seems to think that at least for right now, Captain Lorca is on the up and up about what his intentions are. And so she settled in with Tilly. And then we cut to Lorca, who has had the creature from the ship, from the Glen, brought over before it's destroyed. Yeah. And now he's got it in a little cell. And I assume at some point he's going to study it.
You hope that thing will hold up well.
It will be.
I think someone's going to open it. I mean, there was semi-preview for next time. But I think someone will open it. Because I was thinking about the structural integrity of that. But I'm like, well, the ship previously had gotten blown up. And that cell kept the space. And, like, that's what filled up the window when the window broke on the bridge before. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm hoping it's really strong. But I'm like, So then the question, who would let it out and why and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I guess it all depends on how Lorca is treating this. Is he kind of keeping this kind of a secret from the majority of the crew?
Oh, yes. I don't think he's going to tell that many people. His security officer knows.
Yeah. Is that, I mean, I figure you got to have
that's a whole room of experimenting. I don't know if you noticed. There's a few skeletons and bodies in there. So I was like, I think he likes to play with toys and
that's kind of like,
analyze how these creatures are.
It's kind of his off the books kind of deck right there. Mm-hmm. Kind of filled with his kind of menagerie of experiments.
It looked very sketchy.
Oof. All right. So in terms of where the series is heading, are you more intrigued, just the same level of intrigued, or less intrigued?
More intrigued.
Okay.
What about you?
I feel like I'm more intrigued, but as we talked about earlier, it's going to have to wait until episode 7 to kind of find out were the first two episodes kind of necessary.
Yeah.
Could they have been better spent developing the main storyline that we're in right now? We'll never know. Not until we get to episode 7.
Until we get there.
There you go. So as we wrap up here, thanks everybody for hopping in the chat. Oh, we've got Carrie Lane in the chat. She said yes! !! And but cool.
Madeline was saying how the fortune cookie thing was so random, and I said yes, it was. But I think it's cool. It's a nice, like, totally arbitrary, random decision to make. I'm curious if that was a script choice, or if the actor was like, "Hey, can I have this as a thing?" Or you know, like, "Hey, let's just do something. Like, pick something random for your person to do." You know, because it's just something random. I mean, it's to put into the script because he's like your fortune, blah, blah blah. But it is very like, okay. But that makes it interesting because it is random. We as human beings have random things that we do, we like, we collect, so
that's true. It works. I mean, sorrow with their blueberries, which I like that little
saying. Oh, that's a big thing of blueberries, too.
Yeah, and how blueberries taste different in prison, probably more of the environment.
Because it's your surrounding. Yep,
that's true. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode. I know it was a little shorter than usual. We'll be back next week with hopefully a more fuller length episode. And as Christian mentioned in his review, hopefully he'll be able to make it back in time as well. I believe he's going to be checking out a wedding next week. Or no, that was this week. He's going to be in New York, I believe. So he's a jet setter. He's going to come back from Rigel, head over to New York.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll beam him up.
That's right. There you go. But folks, thanks for watching here. Of course, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And of course, everybody, thanks for hopping in the chat and sharing your thoughts as well. If you're watching this later after we've streamed live, of course, Carrie, as she likes to point out,
you can comment down below.
Do you have a question or anything you'd like to ask them?
Oh, feel free this to, episode? Do you trust the captain?
There you go.
I'm going to go with not fully yet.
Not hopefully yet?
No, not fully yet.
Not fully. I was like, not hopefully yet. Not fully yet. All right.
I need more time.
Yes, question mark. And of course, folks, if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Carrie, where can they find you?
Yes, you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And if you're into horror, we have a horror news show tomorrow at 4 p.m. And then we also, Frank and I, are part of a team for Box Office Breakdown on Sunday nights, right before the show at 9 p.m. where we talk about what movies came out over the weekend. And also tomorrow night, I'll be joining the Marvel TV News panel at 7.
Man, Carrie Lane, you're all over the place.
I'm trying, you know.
You're blowing up on AfterBuzz here and all its ancillary networks.
Oh, yeah, all our extra ones. And yes, thank you very much for the live chat. We love talking with you live. And don't worry, if you can't join us live, I know it's kind of late. Comment down below because that's another great way to keep the discussion going.
That's right. And folks, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, thanks for joining us here for Star Trek Weekly. We'll be back here next Sunday night with another new episode right here on AfterBuzz TV.
See ya.
From
executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.